south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, today we're going to talk about something that affects every expat, gringo, gonna-be, wannabe, and people down here already. And for sure, it's going to sadden some people, especially those who are thinking about opening a business, or these people planning on or finding themselves forced to hiring Latin employees. So that's the topic. You could call it the dangers and pitfalls of hiring Latin employees. And even if you're coming down to Latin America with your plan B, just to retire, hang out by the pool, and suck down margaritas, this will affect you too. Luckily, the negative and the positive things I'm going to talk about today vary from Latin country to Latin country. So today you'll get the dope on the best and worst Latin countries to be a gringo employer, the boss man. Let's get started with an article that just came out. I'm going to read most of it to you. Some of it I'll paraphrase and I'll comment along the way instead of running through the whole thing and trying to backtrack. But I have to mention this could be one of the most important shows I've done in a long, long time. So pay attention. Maybe you want to hear it twice. Now, this article that I'm talking about comes from an English language rag coming out of Ecuador. Of course, you've heard me say before that everywhere there are gringos, there are English language gringo rags aimed at the 99% of the gringo expat and tourist population that speak no Spanish. Now, the thing about these English language blogs, websites, rags, and tourism pamphlets is that, unfortunately, you'll find that all of them have a very positive, upbeat slant on whatever Latin country they're originating from. Why? Because they're supported by gringo and expat advertisers. So, on practically every page, you'll find ads for restaurants, bed and breakfast, tours, house, car rentals, riding stables, help wanted, classified ads, the works, aimed at English-speaking expats and tourists, obviously. And of course, the advertisers want the publication to put positive spins on everything. They want to increase tourism, not screw it up. So the editorial policy of the gringo rags and such is to play down all the bad crap and pump up the good stuff. Because after all, when a new gringo expat or tourist arrives at one of these destinations, first thing they do is pick up one of the local English language rags. That's what 99% of visitors do when their Spanish sucks. Yep, they go right for the English tourist publication. It's a quick way to see what's happening, where the action is, and for low-budget tourists and backpackers, where the cheap eats are and the two-for-one happy hours. Now, about those English language feel-good pamphlets and rags. You'll find them all over the place in hotels, cafes, restaurants, bars, even in the airport. And they're free. I'm talking about the printed versions now. They're all over the place. And of course, each one's got its companion website. So you can stay a bit connected if you want to once the vacation's over and you get back to Jersey or Cleveland. And the point is, just know that anywhere you are in Latin America, when you come across one of those English language tourist publications, pamphlets, magazines, flyers, glossy real estate stuff, they're going to spin everything and anything, especially news, to the positive. So even if you read an article that seems a bit negative, for example, how to remain safe on public transportation or how not to get robbed on a chicken bus, you can bet they're probably sugarcoating it. And the reason why the article exists at all is because there have been a rash of chicken bus muggings. But they won't put it that way. They'll put a happy face on it somehow. So what's that got to do with what we're going to talk about today? Well, just know, when I read this article, it's probably worse than it's stated. In fact, you can bet on it. So here goes. And this article is really up to date. It just came out on February 24th, 2019. This is 2019, right? All right, then. As mentioned, I'll paraphrase and add my own comments as we go along. The title is, Expats, are you thinking of hiring a maid, gardener, or construction worker? If so, you need to know this. It starts out, almost every gringo and expat arriving in Ecuador, in fact, in Latin America, has heard this pitch. It goes something like this. You can hire a maid, gardener, cook, whatever, for a fraction of what you'd pay in North America or Europe. Yes, this is true, though the cost has gone up considerably in recent years. All right, me, Johnny, going to throw my 2 cents in here. Notice how it doesn't say why the cost has gone up. Well, it turns out it's almost all as a result of the influx of expats and gringos to certain tourist areas. And note, a lot of these so-called tourist areas were not on the gringo tourist trail even 10 years ago, but they are now. Again, the steady hikes in labor costs are almost 100% due to the influx of gringos and expats. Now, the author of this article is writing from the viewpoint of someone who lives in Ecuador and who's had experience hiring locals himself. So keep in mind, all this is happening in Ecuador right now, and it's reason 3,646 why I'd never want to live there. So then he says, although it's true the cost of living has gone up considerably, especially with labor, what you don't hear, however, is that there are strings attached in the form of new and existing labor laws that many employers, both expats and Ecuadorians, are unaware of or simply choose to ignore at their own peril. What most expats don't know is that those employers, potentially that would be you, who violate the law often pay dearly. In one recent case, for example, an expat couple who fired a caretaker on their property, that would be a maintenance guy or gardener, was ordered by the Ecuadorian labor court to pay him $28,000. That's no typo, $28,000, which works out to be around 10 years' salary for the guy. In another case, a homeowner who got rid of his maid and hired another, he had to compensate her, the one he got rid of. She went to court and got an order against him to the tune of $17,000. That's right, $17,000. About 10 years of salary for her, too. Now, if you think that's ridiculous or even crazy, it gets worse. Then he says what you need to know is Ecuador's labor laws cover much more than just maids, gardeners, and guards. Of course, expats who hire Ecuadorians for other purposes, including construction or building laborers, that would be working either full or part-time, also really need to understand the legal requirements. Then he quotes a Cuenca attorney saying the number of legal cases against gringo and expat employers is growing rapidly. He says, I've been to court a number of times recently to represent expats, and in most of those cases, the expat didn't understand the law at all, and almost always he ended up paying. Then there's this from an Ecuadorian labor lawyer. He says, quote, the first thing that employers should understand is that the labor law of Ecuador protects workers much more than it protects employers. It's pretty much one-sided. It's been that way for years, she says, but it was never really enforced. Not before the recent big influx of gringos, anyway. What has changed recently is that the government is now much more aggressive than ever before in enforcing labor laws that are already on the books and enforcing the new ones that have just been enacted. And there are now many more labor inspectors checking employment arrangements. All right, I'll jump in here again. So this crackdown on enforcing labor laws in Ecuador that's just popped up recently, well, the truth is, in some Latin countries, there's absolutely nothing new about that. Not when you're on or near the gringo tourist trail. Turns out, when gringos arrive in numbers, all that changes. For example, when I was in Costa Rica many years ago, they were cracking down on gringos and expats who were picking up a little work here and there. Mostly backpacker types with a lot of time on their hands who really liked the country, they'd try to pick up some extra work as bartenders or front desk clerks at mom-and-pop hotels, even as employees at Cafe Internet. But I'll tell you, that didn't last long. Soon enough, there were labor police patrolling those places, kind of like a mini work permit Gestapo. Your papers und work permit, please. And of course, it's virtually impossible for a transitory gringo going through a Latin country to get a work permit. For that, you have to be a resident, and that's usually a year-long process and costs a lot of dough. Anyway, it's well out of the range of a backpacker. So I personally saw a lot of nice, calm backpacker types get booted out of the country, simply because they were manning the front desk of a mom-and-pop hotel when the labor cops showed up. And believe me, normally the Latin labor cops are a bunch of lard-ass slugs like the cops and the rest of Latin bureaucrats, except in the case of gringos and expats working for cash, obviously without a permit, it was a very common and pervasive belief that they were stealing jobs from the locals. Thus, who do you think would be dialing up that 800 number to report a gringo working without papers? Why, it was always an out-of-work Latino or one that had just been laid off or fired. I'll tell you, it was the easiest way for a local worker who'd been fired or laid off to get revenge on his old employer. Just dial up that number and sick the labor police on him. That would ruin your day. And that kind of stuff was happening over 20 years ago in Costa Rica, and then it spread to Panama, the next big gringo tourist destination touted by rags like International Living. Who else? And of course, it's always been like that in the big tourist destinations in Mexico, like Cancun. And now, predictably, it's hit Ecuador. Oh, and in Panama and Costa Rica, here's what happened next. The labor police would find the small businessmen, usually a gringo or expat who owned a mom-and-pop hotel or restaurant. And even way back when, it was a pretty hefty fine at that. If I recall, it was $500 or so, even back then. And worse yet, the labor cops had the power to shut your business down until you showed up in court. And a court date in Latin America, man, that could happen weeks, if not months, after you got the summons. So those are some of the secondary effects when gringos pile into a country. All right, so then the author says in this article, in the past, many labor agreements made by gringo and expat employers with their employees were on a casual personal basis, especially with household workers like maids and day laborers. But today, doing things this way is dangerous and can cost you a hell of a lot of money. Problem is, gringos and expats think they don't have to worry about the rules with maids who only work for 2 or 3 hours a week, but this is a mistake. And for that reason, the author says, this is what employers, gringos and expats, need to know before hiring any Ecuadorian, even if it's just a maid who comes in a couple hours a week. All right, first, gringos and expats need to understand the difference between casual labor hiring and hiring a person for work that entitles an employee to labor protections, benefits, including Social Security pensions, health care, and unemployment compensation. Yes, you must pay for all of those, or at least contribute. Then it says, hiring casual labor involves hiring for work for specific short-term projects with no preset working hours. A worker, for example, moving furniture, digging a garden, clearing a vacant lot, washing cars, that would be considered casual labor. On the other hand, if you hire someone performing repetitive tasks on a regular schedule, even if it's only for a few hours a week, that person is protected by strict Ecuadorian labor laws. And that person is entitled to certain benefits paid for by you, the employer. Although you as an expat or gringo employer might think the contribution to your worker's benefit package is small, especially when the employee works short hours because it's prorated on a 40-hour work week, however, the paperwork and filing requirements are the same as for full-time employees and can be daunting. And they're in Spanish, so you'll need someone to help you fill them out. Then it says most households who have maids, whether the employer is a gringo or Latino, have not paid benefits for those maids, but they legally should. With more and more maids and gardeners, even ones who can't read or write, taking their bosses to labor court and winning settlements. And get this, many times the workers will tell you, the employer, the gringo or the Latino, that you should pay them directly what they would pay into their Social Security, health care, and retirement fund. They'll say, don't worry, pay me and I'll make the contribution myself. That way you, the employer, won't have to fill out all that crazy paperwork. All right, me Johnny here again. If you believe that, I got a Rottweiler that lays golden eggs. You want to buy them? Let's put it this way. It's just like Americans. If there weren't tax withholdings from your check, unjust rip-off or not, how would you come up with the thousands of bucks you owe in taxes at the end of the year? How many people do you know that would have that kind of ready cash? Try none. I mean, look, haven't you heard recently that 50% of Americans couldn't come up with $500 cash if there was a real emergency or their lives depended on it? Well, let me tell you, when it comes to Latin Americans, it's pretty much the same thing, but for them, it would be more like $50. So what he's saying in this article is don't fall for the old gambit where your employee says, just pay me the whole thing, I'll take care of the Social Security deposits. You don't want to fall for that one, not in Ecuador. You know, a deal like that starts out with good intentions, but it just ain't going to happen. And you know who's going to get fined or dragged over the coals? Not the employee, but the employer. Because remember, the labor laws in Latin countries, especially in Ecuador, Costa Rica, and where gringos hang out, are heavily weighted in the employee's favor. So, for example, even if you drew up a contract that both you and your employee signed that said you made a deal to hand over the dough to him to pay his Social Security and benefits package, under Ecuador's new labor laws, the employee cannot waive the employer's obligation and the employer is still liable for deductions that are supposed to go to the government's Social Security, health care, and retirement fund. So what if it's like throwing money down the toilet, as bankrupt and inefficient and thoroughly corrupt as those organizations are? Sound familiar? Oh, and one thing your employees will always remind you about, the two extra payments a year
that every employee in Ecuador gets. It's called decimos. And that's true with almost all Latin countries, though some call it aguinaldo or bono 14. Turns out for employees working on the books, they get two extra salaries a year. One usually in December, around Christmas, and one in August. All right, me, Johnny, here again. You know, that might sound like a big hassle, and you're thinking, what? They get two extra salaries a year? But in a way, the secondary effect of that has been a boon for gringos and expats. If you're in the market for a high-priced household item, like a flat-screen TV, washer, dryer, whatever. Because, you see, every August, all of December, too, all the big clothing and department stores, including Costco and Walmart, all of them have what they call Decimo, Bono 14, or Aguinaldo fire sales, offering huge discounts on big items like refrigerators, TVs, AC units, computers, microwave ovens, even new cars and motorcycles. That's why it's always a good idea to hold off on big purchases, if you can, till August or December. So that's the positive secondary effect of having two salary payouts a year for employees on the books, which again reinforces the fact that the average Latino can't scrape together $50 at one time. But when he gets those two extra salaries, one in August and one in December, he's suddenly flush and ready to spend again. So it would seem anyway, but as human nature would have it, most of that money's spent long before they get it. But for now, we're talking about the labor laws in Ecuador and how they're being strictly enforced. That is, when it comes to gringos and expats, anyway. I'll bet you didn't know that besides the two extra salaries, which is common in all Latin American countries, you have to pay for vacations and profit sharing if you own a business. So then, let's talk a bit about that profit sharing law. Did you know, and this for many gringos and expats is a deal breaker, when they find out about it anyway, that little Ecuador is one of the only countries in Latin America where the law requires that 15% of all your profits be divided among your workers. Let me say that again. In Ecuador, the law requires that 15% of all your profits be divided amongst your workers. Now, let that sink in, along with the fact that there have been cases where gringos and expats have been fined tens of thousands of dollars when maids, gardeners, and maintenance men have taken their gringo employers to court after they've been fired for stealing. That should say it all. Oh, and one more thing about sharing 15% of your profits with your employees. Well, 15% doesn't sound so bad. The thing is, it's your business, so any kind of profit-sharing plan should be voluntary. But the real kicker is the amount of paperwork you'll have to keep up with and file. And speaking of paperwork, suppose you're in Ecuador, you've retired, it's your plan B. You'll need to keep up with the paperwork, even if you have a gardener or maid a couple hours a week. A contract must be drawn up, and you can get it from a lawyer's office. It must be signed by both the employee and the employer, stipulating conditions of employment and compensation, and then it must be registered with the Ministry of Labor. All right, let me chime in here for a second. It's good to know that in countries that are considered way off the gringo tourist trail, like Honduras, Salvador, Guatemala, Bolivia, Paraguay, even Belize, people just don't have to go through all that. That's not to say that I don't know a lot of gringos and expats in those off the tourist trail countries that don't have their maids, gardeners, etc. on the books. They do. Sure, there are many maids and gardeners off the books, and we'll talk about that later. But when they're on the books, you pay what are called prestaciones. That would be the government, Social Security, health care, etc. But enforcement is very weak, and you don't hear of labor police. That's just not an issue. Now, I have heard of some cases where a maid or a gardener has taken a gringo to court to try to squeeze him, even in countries way off the gringo tourist trail. And that usually happens when you've fired one of them for stealing, no less. Isn't that funny? So you think after they've stolen something, you fire them and they're on their way and that's the end of it. So you'd think. Well, you know, if you're living on or near the gringo tourist trail, you're a so-called wealthy gringo and you will be a target. However, the farther off the gringo tourist trail, the less likely that is to happen. In any case, you've heard me say many times, you've got to have a lawyer, meaning not just skip around from lawyer to lawyer depending on what job you have them do. You know, have one for residency, one for drawing up a rental contract, one for checking out paperwork and title on a used car. That's not a good idea. You want to have one lawyer do all that stuff for you. And he's the guy you should lean on before you hire a maid or a gardener. He'll know exactly how to keep you on the right side of the labor laws. And get this, because Latin lawyers know that most labor laws favor the employee in whatever Latin country you're in. Well, because they are lawyers, they've figured little legal dodges around that stuff. That's what lawyers do, They look for loopholes, right? So bottom line, consult your lawyer. And if you don't have a lawyer and you try to do all this stuff on your own, you could be in some deep doo-doo, man. Especially if you're living in a gringoized country, you're on the gringo tourist trail, like Ecuador. All right, but talking about Ecuador again, the article goes on to say, very good record keeping of payments to employees is critical. You must keep a detailed payroll document that shows all payments, including salary payments to the Social Security and healthcare system, and your proof of vacation pay and the payment of the two extra salaries required every year. Then it says, simple notes you may have that show payment, canceled checks, or receipts are not valid proof of payment as far as the government is concerned. All right, me, Johnny, here again. Let me explain. That means that lots of gringos and expats in countries like Costa Rica, Panama, and now Ecuador are going to have to hire a local Latino accountant to make sure you're following the letter of the labor law for that maid that comes in 4 hours a week. Oh, worse yet, get this. In Ecuador, early this year, they passed a new labor law. Turns out, before, an employer could sign a contract with a worker for a specific period of time. But now, even if an employee and employer know that the job will finish at a particular time, let's say in 1 month or 2 weeks or 1 year, the employee is considered full-time, and the employer is liable not only for Social Security and healthcare payments, but for full termination benefits when the job ends. So what are termination benefits? Listen to this. Well, according to Latin labor law, when you terminate an employee or the job ends, you have to pay him additional funds. The termination of employment can be very expensive for employers and is the subject of most of the unemployment cases that end up in court, which is something else almost no fresh green gringos and expats know or even consider. By the way, when those cases end up in court, it's almost always the employer that ends up paying. Why? Because somewhere along the way, maybe months after you've terminated your lowly maid who's been stealing from you, she walks into court with a practiced labor lawyer who knows exactly what buttons to push with the judge to get a settlement for her. All right, so what about termination benefits, or what you might call in the States, severance pay? All right, let's read on. Here in Ecuador, there are a number of expenses an employer must pay when a worker's employment is terminated, whether it's by resignation or you fire him or her. Benefits can range from a few hundred dollars to thousands of dollars, depending on the length of employment and circumstances of termination. Under Ecuador's labor law, workers accumulate credit for time worked and are entitled to additional pay when they leave the job or if they're fired. Even for 1 year's full-time employment, this can range from $1,000 to $2,000 out of the employer's pocket. And that's after an employee being on the job only 1 year or so, with every year thereafter racking up additional termination or severance costs for the employer. Now, if an employer fires an employee, severance costs are even higher, which doesn't make sense, but this is Latin America. Even in the case where an employee is caught red-handed in the cookie jar. In a case like this, since it's considered a crime, there must be a court record showing conviction of the employee, which is almost impossible. Problem is, if you go after an employee for stealing, the court case may drag on for months, even years. Knowing that, most employers will just skip it, and they'll show up in court saying they fired him because he was a known thief. Then it's just the employer's word against the employee, and the court will generally rule in favor of the employee. As an example of the consequences of a recent firing, there's a case in which a Cuenca bank fired an employee of 15 years and didn't go to court ahead of time to prosecute him as a thief. The bank was ordered to pay him $70,000 in severance pay, about 20 years' pay for the guy. Of course, employment disputes can be settled out of court too, although the final settlement has to be approved by the Ministry of Labor, and that takes time. One lawyer says he had a case a few months ago where an expat couple decided to return to the United States and had to lay their maid off because they were leaving. The maid had worked for them for 4 years at a salary of $150 a month. The maid wanted to sue them for what they considered was excessive severance pay. Instead, they settled out of court for $2,500, almost 2 years of her salary. However, the real problem is if you lay off a maid, a gardener, whatever, and decide to return back to the States, and if there's a dispute over the severance pay, the labor court will block your passport. They'll put what they call an embargo or arreglo on your passport, and you won't be able to leave the country until it's settled. So, as you may have figured out already, the labor courts and your employees have a hell of a lot of power, especially if they can block your passport and leave you stuck in Ecuador. Oh, and by the way, if you want to see a complete list of Ecuador's labor laws, you can go to the Ministry of Labor's website, www.trabajo.gob.ec. So if you need a little scare or a wake-up call about now, have a look. Hey, I know all this stuff is scary, but what are you supposed to do? Well, if you want to contract part-time household workers like maids and gardeners and such, you could contract with a company that provides those services. They'll handle all the government stuff and paperwork. You just pay the company. But you'll be paying twice or even three times what the going rate is for a maid or gardener, whatever. After all, that's how they make their dough. They've got all kinds of so-called Latin America temp services now. They've popped up all over the place, especially where there are lots of gringos and expats. Go figure, huh? Mostly due to stricter and stricter government labor laws. All right, so now you're thinking, so what if I gotta pay $6, $8, or even $10 an hour for a maid? That's a gift compared to what you'd have to pay up in the States. Ah, but there's a catch. It says in Ecuadorian law, when working with such a contractor, a Latin so-called temp service, the employer, that'd be you, has the responsibility to make sure the company, that would be the temp service you're contracting, is up to date on its contributions to the workers' social security and healthcare accounts. What the? How in the hell are you supposed to keep track of a third party's contributions on your behalf? According to Ecuadorian government labor laws, if the company, the temp service, isn't up to date with its payments, the employer, that's you, can be liable for injuries that occur not only on your property, but on their property. By the way, it says on the Ecuadorian government's Ministry of Labor website, which is, by the way, totally in Spanish and a real cluster, if you know what I mean, even if you happen to know Spanish. After all, it is a government website, Lord help us. If you use such a temp service for your maids, gardeners, whatever, you must ask for a copy of the paperwork that proves they are making payments to the government. And if there is any uncertainty about this, you'll need to get an accountant or labor lawyer to review those documents for you. Again, I say, what the? All right, we're running out of time here. So on that sour note, we'll get into part two next show.
You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos!